And we're reading on page 62, article Body and Soul. We're going to start with the words, "Our sages divided." So that's "Our sages divided," page 62, Kabbalah for the student. And you can ask questions live on Cub TV. Selected questions will be aired. It's in the section Revealed and Concealed, starting with the words, "Our sages divided." Okay, so what we talked about actually is the perception of reality. How do we perceive reality? What's body? What's soul? Who knows? Nothing's known. Even we don't even know who we are. But the only thing we know is our response. Who am I? What am I? We're confused about ourselves, about our world. Look how many opinions, philosophies. And nothing is known to man. A person has no idea what's happening to him. And moreover, things that whether things exist or don't exist, there's the question about that to begin with. And afterwards comes the question, is there a soul? Does it exist or not? If it exists, then where does it exist? How do you measure it? How do you feel it? It's all mysticism. And as much as people regardless of how many different methods and theories people put around it, as a result of not knowing, not understanding, if there are facts in the laws of nature that we know and we act accordingly, and there's no one that could deny, because this is a fact, meaning it is evident to everyone. So in these things, nothing is known, nothing is... everyone could advise a new method. Like in the 20th century, several such methods have grown. And Bala Sulam, therefore, divides them only into the method of the believers, the dualism, and the deniers. We talked about all these methods eventually coming from concealment as a result of a person knowing nothing. And if it would have been revealed, then we wouldn't have talked about these things at all. But we would have learned, examined, researched, scrutinized, like in any ordinary science. But because part of reality is concealed, we are perplexed, and we want somehow to talk about it, and we have no scientific real tools to talk about it. So we're talking about different such rumors, and therefore these things, of course, they are lieful. And the wisdom of Kabbalah can't help us, because how can it help us if we don't control it, if we can't use it? It's like, say, optics and physics that speaks about things that we see with our eye, and how with the help of the eye, the sense, we can reveal the world and use this instrument like an eye. What can we build on it? And if a person has no eyes, then how can this whole science help him? The science, which was written for someone who has eyes, for him, this whole part of optics is redundant. The same with the wisdom of Kabbalah for us. How can we use it if we don't have the senses that I can operate and then use this science? So, therefore, we're really bold from all sides. Where all the religions and different beliefs, they're a lie, because it stems from a person inventing them as a result of seeing nothing from the concealed, the hidden reality. And the wisdom of Kabbalah, though it speaks the truth, but we're not in it. And therefore, for us, it is as if nothing. These are things that, these are unrealistic things, turns out. But because of the absence of our own kelim, and how to turn to this nonetheless. Therefore, he explains to us, Bala Sulam, that how do we have to refer to how do we refer to reality? In order to reveal it in its true real fashion and not fall into confusions, that suddenly we get some, that suddenly we take imaginary things as facts. So, our sages divided the wisdom into two matters, revealed and concealed. The revealed part contains everything we know from our direct consciousness, as well as the concepts built upon practical experience without any assistance from scrutiny, as our sages said. A judge has only what his eyes see. The concealed part contains all those concepts we have heard from trusted people or have acquired by ourselves through general understanding and perception of them. However, we cannot sufficiently approach it so as to criticize it with a healthy mind, with straightforward cognizance, and this is regarded as concealed. There we were advised to accept matters with simple faith. And with all that concerns religion, we have been strictly forbidden to even gaze at matters that could arouse us to scrutinize and study them. Meaning, with respect to anyone or everyone, there is simple reality. That what is revealed to my senses and the mind standing behind the senses, and I can research and I can depend on it being the way it is. The part that was concealed for me is entering the revealed part. I can put on glasses, whatever was concealed is revealed, and then I add to it the mind and the brain as to what does it have to do with what I've seen before. For the time being, I divided reality into revealed and concealed. That which has to do with the revealed belongs to me. The concealed part, that's where the problem starts. If I find people who are in the part which is concealed from me, or in a part of the concealed part, for sure, in sense and in clear knowledge, I can I can get help from them. I can be aided by them in order for what? So that I will advance into that concealed part and for it to become revealed for me. All in all, there's reality. Let's say there are two more parts. This is the revealed part. Revealed part. This is me here. And this is the concealed part. Which is concealed from me and revealed to the sages. And this is, say, the concealed part. which is also concealed from the sages. Or say, or it is not being revealed to me. For different reasons. So, I have a fact in the revealed part. This is my world. There are no deniers to this. And the concealed, I can be aided, I can believe, I can be aided by the sages to whom it is revealed, and then by this I expand my revealed part with the help of their advice for it to also be revealed, and whatever remains, remains. This is how we advance. There's another factor that sometimes enters this in between the revealed and concealed, when a person suddenly gets this feeling of what it means to be in the upper, in the concealed part. Where is this in the equation here? It's not important for us now. We're talking about the means, the fact by which I advance. That sometimes a person gets certain feeling. I can't depend on that. This, for me, is science. My life, I know this is how it works. For me, it's nature.
Nature. And here I don't know, it's a concealed world. But there are those who say, we'll help you, listen to what's happening, take it into account. If you want to advance, if you want to penetrate it, if you want to enter him, if they don't tell me to enter him, but they tell me, you know, something's happening, this and that, we see, we know from the books, and it's given to me in order for that I'll take it into account in my so-called world. So the question is, what do we do? That is already called religion. That's religion. Meaning, I believe people that are in it, in this concealed world, they tell me about it, yeah, as Kabbalists, and they tell me how I can reach it. If they're in a concealed world and they're not telling me how to reach it, then that's a sign that they're not there, because the entire purpose of man is to expand his borders, his limits, and to penetrate this concealed. You understand? So, meaning, if a person is very wise, but he doesn't explain to me how I can acquire the concealed world, then that's a sign that he's not in it either, and he's talking nonsense. He's just selling to me what's been sold to him. It could be done naively or innocently, but that's religion. A Kabbalist is one who explains to me in a logical way, in a simple way, as much as possible, that I'll be able to understand how to expand the limits from my revealed world into the concealed world. That is the purpose, that's the aim, that's the purpose of the existence of man, that's the purpose of the wisdom of Kabbalah. Actually, according to that, then I can see who I should connect to. Only to those who are going to open the concealed world, and who can help me do so. All of those who are telling me all these things, they could be very wise, they could be smart. They know everything off by heart, and they speak nicely. If I don't receive from them clear instructions how to enter the concealed world, then I don't keep contact with them. Go ahead. We're on page 62, third paragraph. Yet these names, revealed and concealed, are not permanent names applying to a certain kind of knowledge, as the uneducated think. Rather, they apply only to the human consciousness. Thus, one refers to all those concepts one has already discovered and has come to know through actual experience as revealed, and regards all the concepts that are yet to be recognized in this manner as concealed. Thus, throughout the generations, all people have these two divisions. The revealed part will be permitted for study and research, as it relies on a true basis, his senses. It's a true basis. He has knowledge, he has his mind, he has everything, and he's facing this matter, and the matter and the form clothed in matter, he can examine and research, no problem. And the concealed part is forbidden for even a shred of scrutiny, since one has no real basis there. Therefore, he'll be confused and he won't reach the purpose of creation. That's why he's forbidden. Forbidden in the wisdom of Kabbalah, it means not able to, because you'll only be confused and you'll be off the path. It's not to conceal something from you, but the opposite. It's in order to reveal to you, you're told that you shouldn't walk this way, because then you'll be confused and you'll enter these different, maybe religions or mysticisms. That's it. Yes. So when we attain the concealed and it becomes revealed to us, we attain it by our senses? Yes, of course the senses. Not through the mind. No, not through the mind. In the desire, in the corrected desire, it's revealed. That's called the senses. And the mind works afterwards in order to help us understand, to help us examine and research what we feel. But first comes the feeling. Like a baby, he doesn't know anything, but he feels. He shouts, he laughs. He's feeling good, he's feeling bad. He doesn't know where it comes from and why. But first he has a feeling. Our matter is desire. Therefore, if we're talking about our development, it's only our desires that develop, that open up to a new perception. Desires. Therefore, he who is greater than his friend, his inclination, in Hebrew it's the same word as desire, is greater than him. You don't say his mind is greater, but you say his inclination is greater, his desire is greater. Permitted and forbidden in using human science. Page 62. Hence, we who follow in the footsteps of our sages are not permitted to use the human science except with knowledge that has been proven by actual experience and of whose validity we have no doubt. Therefore, we cannot accept any religious principles from the above three methods. You see, the religious methods he's talking about. The religion he considers religion, he calls Kabbalah religion. It could be confusing to some people, but on the other hand, he says that the true religion is the wisdom of Kabbalah. And all the rest, they're faiths. That's how he calls them. and we're forbidden to use them because we'll only be confused by them and we'll go off the correct path. We shouldn't accept these different rumors as facts, and it's even forbidden to hear them, because a person doesn't know how to manage himself, and what he hears from an audience, especially a large audience that is under the influence of the environment, then whatever he will hear from the environment, he'll accept it as a fact. And therefore, it's forbidden to enter societies or environments or even single ones, even single people, that they could influence you and you'll accept things as facts, that they are not facts at all. It's not even a fact, but it's only seems to them, and they tell you with such this psychology, and they're so convincing that you just accept it. Or if it's a large audience that thinks that way or values these things, it controls you, it ties you to it. So you have to, as if, take them into consideration. You have to think how you'll seem in their eyes, good. And you need vast forces in order to deal with this. And most people don't have this force, this strength to deal with it. And you also have to have a great mind in order to not enter this influence of these great audiences or people who can really influence in such a way that you'll just receive whatever they think as a fact. That's the problem. To accept things as facts, that they're completely not facts. They don't come from science, from the science. And also between scientists, there are those, and there should be also great caution with what they talk about assumptions or what they talk about facts. But there, more or less, they make an effort. I'm not saying there are lots of forgers. Recently, there have been many forgers in all the scientific articles. Lots of forgers. They write about it themselves, that it's just people just change the calculations and the statistics. And then many things are discovered later on, even to Nobel Prizes, then it's discovered that it's been a lie and so on. But we're talking about not what we have in this world, in these corruptions, but that we have to discern between a fact that has happened and between something that has no scientific foundation, basis. And we have to completely keep away from these things and not even be in any contact with it. That's why Rabash writes, if you remember, that you have to be careful from these people or those people. He writes it in his known article. Yes. Therefore, we cannot accept any religious principle from the above three methods, all the more so concerning the concepts of body and soul, which are the fundamental concepts and the subject of religion as a whole. We can only accept concepts of life sciences taken from experiments that no man can doubt. Clearly, such a proof cannot be found in any spiritual matter, but only in physical matters set up for perception by the senses. Hence, we are permitted to use the third method to an extent. It engages only in matters of the body, in all those deductions that have been proven by experiments, and which no one doubts. The rest of the concepts, which combine the reason of the method and other methods, are forbidden to us. One who uses them preaches, turn you not unto the idols. Meaning idols, he's talking about any opinion that doesn't have, that isn't based on a scientific fact. It can be even about things that have nothing to do with, that aren't sublime, or about godliness or religion or faith. No, not important what. Idols means that you begin to accept things that are not facts, and you accept them as if they are facts. And it begins from small things. People believed in these trees or rocks or different things, and they started ascribing forces to it as if it's a means. It started from nothing, from just small quantities. And it just turned into these complete systems of faith that control people. And we see that that's the way it is. And it started in such a way from nothing. I don't want to start criticizing these things, but without hurting anyone.
Say how in India they start sanctifying cows. To see it from the past, it's simply out of nowhere. From scratch till it suddenly grows into... But it is not important for us. The only thing important for us is that we believe only in one thing, in fact, if it's possible to say so. To believe in a fact. Yes. Yet this third method is foreign and loathsome to the human spirit. There is hardly any truly educated person who is able to accept it. This is so because, according to them, man's human form has been erased and vanished. Man has been made into a machine that walks and works by other forces. According to them, man has no free choice whatsoever, but is rather pushed by nature's forces. And all his actions are compulsory. Hence, man has no reward or punishment, since no judgment, punishment, or reward apply to one who has no freedom of will. Meaning that if we only take upon ourselves a scientific form, and not that we have something concealed which he speaks above, but only in the framework of nature, then we close ourselves as someone who exists, a piece of protein someplace in the universe, and that's all there is to it. And also all of our actions, they're defined according to our systems, and if so, that we think about ourselves, that as if I think about myself from above, eventually all this has no foundation, because I'm a machine. Such a thing is utterly unthinkable, and not only for the religious, who believe in reward and punishment, since believing in his providence, that all of nature's forces are guided by him, assures them that everything has a good and desirable cause. Yet, this method is even stranger in the eyes of the non-religious, who believe that everyone is given to the hands of a blind, mindless, and aimless nature. These intelligent ones are like toys in its hands, led astray, and who knows where, Hence, this method has become despised and unaccepted in the world. Because a person, he can't agree to being a machine. Either he goes to religion, so you have to be half stupid there. Half stupid meaning about the concealed part of life. Saying, thank God, everything's fine, there's a calculation to everything from above. I know nothing. He's being told, here, you'll do this, do that. There are many people who use these things, but somehow he thinks that nonetheless there are certain calculations and it's not that I'm a machine in vain. And therefore we see that as much as life pressures you and the more we become, the more advanced we become in science and we are intelligent beings with broad horizons, broader than 100 or 200 years ago, more people will become religious. Because if you research nature, you see that in truth you are a machine, and our internality does not agree to that. Our internality does not agree. What can you do? And therefore, for lack of any other choice, in order to give ourselves some kind of a sweetening, a mitigation in life, why am I suffering? What is the meaning in life? If I'm like that cockroach living, and the very next moment I see that it's dead, and I'm the same, a person, he can't. A protective force of the body, one's ego, pushes him to become a believer. Extraterrestrial demons, spirits, who knows what and how, transcendental meditations, and who knows where and what. We've advanced in science in the 20th century in science education and facts. A person can't. Against these facts, a person must tell himself that he is above facts, because the facts tell him that you're a machine, your genes, hormones, you're nothing, your protein. I can't agree. And therefore, internally, instinctively, he is searching for something above this. And therefore, the amount of people who will respect religion will not decrease. It will not decrease. As much as science, the more science develops, they won't decrease. They're looking for some kind of a mitigation there, their justification for their existence. I believe there's a soul, and more they'll be proudful of it. Because compared to this, you're what? You're a piece of protein, a machine. No, I have a soul. A person, he can't. Therefore, only the wisdom of Kabbalah, which will come and expand the horizons and will answer both these things, will bring a person to the true perfection. Because by believing something, what do you believe? Where are the facts? Why? What for? What will you have as a result? This mysticism. But he needs them for lack of any other choice. And the wisdom of Kabbalah, he has both wisdom and also the concealed part, which enters the revealed part and then solves all the problems. Gives an answer to everything. Why are people who in their ordinary life, regular life, that doubt everything, when they reach religion, they agree. They become even more stupid than the others. A religious scientist, he is even more stupid in these matters than a non-religious scientist. Or the more he knows, the more simple of a religion he looks for. You tell me what to do, to pray this way, to do that, that's it. That's what he is looking for. For compensating for his mind, for being so, for his methodology, for the analysis and synthesis that he has in his scientific life, he's also searching this way. which seems to him that in religion, it seems to him that he refers to it as the science. And then he calms himself down by that. Religion seems to him more as a fact, and he can believe. He can believe like in a science. And therefore, the religious people, they seem much more mechanical, naive, say, in religion. And they don't want to touch it. They say, nah, that's how it is for me. There's no argument about it. For them, there are no disputes about it. The dispute could be yes, no, philosophies, with things that aren't scientific, or with people who aren't scientists. But he, because he is a scientist, his attitude towards religion is like towards the science. It says, facts, I have to do this, I have to do that, that's it. And I'm saying that we're in a scientific crisis. And therefore, I don't know, science no longer influences people that much. Its superiority has already sort of fallen. It fell according to the facts that we see that nothing good comes out of it. Therefore, they started respecting it. But in truth, the way we use science is wrong. But it's not that science itself is wrong. And therefore, I don't think that we'll see many such examples. But in truth, a scientist, he is needy of religion, of faith. He is needy of it. Because if he really is a scientist, it is very evident to him how schematic, how mechanical all of nature is. And it leaves him nothing human, no space, no place for his inner existence. But he is also the same machine, only that it is a machine that knows it is a machine. He can't agree to that. We're not talking about the point in the heart and different things that are in us. This is what a person thinks about. The person, he fears that having a part of divinity, pushing him into divinity. Therefore, we will see problematic things about it. But it's not a wonder. This is what I wanted to say. It's not a wonder that in the 20th century, reaching a state where the world maybe is maybe becoming more religious, more orthodox, and more scientists connect to it than 100 years ago. In the beginning of the 20th century, with respect to today, you have many more people who could belong to religion, and their entry into religion after some weakness in the 20th century is an entry of lack of any other choice. Back then it was more naive because of the lack of development. Now it's because of the overdevelopment. As a result of seeing, they've seen in development that there's nothing human to it. There is nothing that leaves them with an eternal part, eternal part. And a person, he has to have something like that. A beast has no idea what's going to happen to it the next moment. That it dies. Let's say it feels that it's going to die, but it doesn't understand what it means to lose life. A person has this feeling because the loss of life, it comes to us as a result of the gap in between the spiritual degrees, the leaving and purification. Therefore, a person, he must give an answer to it. And therefore, we'll see the more people will get into science and the generation will develop, the more will they disregard science and plastics and whatever they revealed and did. And upon them will they thrive more for faith. belief that gives a person more. It's opium for the masses. It's not in vain. It's truly so. Well, glycerin, oh, he'll give us. I wanted to ask, what about us? We're looking for spirituality. We're also robots. It's in our genes, it's in our hormones, or, of course, for thousands of years, for dozens of incarnations, I've advanced the current state of the point in the heart. I receive as a result an attraction to something, an urge from this world, and now I have to realize it. Of course, it's not choice. My free choice is a means of how to advance. When I can advance according to the natural urges and in hastening, where I myself choose and pick those necessary things. There's no necessity on behalf of the Creator. Don't advance. See, he left you several years. You could have advanced more. Please, less, please. He leaves you the possibilities only indirect with respect in the direction of giving up your ego. There do you have free choice and nothing else, only to prefer
bestowal upon reception. It's not related to this world. In this world you can advance exactly like you need to advance. I don't want to start talking about your corporeal incidents that you had in life according to spirituality, if they'll change or not, if you shorten your life or not. For now, it's not important in order not to confuse us. But accept this world as completely mechanical. You have life. And if you can attain spirituality, okay. If not, then you have to return again and again. We'll learn about it in the Zohar. I don't remember where. I think in Vayikahel, in the chapter of Vayikahel from the Zohar. Yes, Moshe from LA is asking, is this the time to start aiming our dissemination to the religious audiences around the world? I don't think that there is such a big difference. It's all beginning to be. The border is. It's a very thin line. And time works on all the different sectors, but we don't turn to the religious sector to any parts of them. If they want to study, then they can study. But naturally, it will happen when they will come closer to the wisdom of Kabbalah and they will feel that they have to add this to the religion. The problem is the fear that a person who starts engaging in the wisdom of Kabbalah, then he starts being weaker in the practical part. Because for him, prayer is already prayer in the heart and not prayer according to the prayer book. And keeping kosher is his intentions kosher in order to bestow or not, and so on. And then there becomes a problem, because Shabbat, Saturday, for him can be during the week, having an ascent or not, a Jew or a non-Jew is only considered according to his state. And then he begins to be confused, and then he begins to be weaker in the practical actions, and it's clear, it's known throughout the generations. And that's how it happens to each and every one. When I started studying the wisdom of Kabbalah, I was living in Rehovot. After I became religious, they told me, what are you doing? It's prohibited. Why is it? And I asked why. It's part of the Torah. And these very religious people told me, whoever studies the wisdom of Kabbalah starts lighting fire on Shabbat, on Saturday. I looked at them. Why? What's in the wisdom of Kabbalah that I have to light fire on Shabbat or on Saturday? It's after I kept the laws of Shabbat of Saturday for about 2 years. They said, it's a fact, you can ask anyone. When I started studying the wisdom of Kabbalah, then I started believing them. Yes? Not that I do it, that I light a flame on Shabbat, on Saturday, but I started believing them that the borders, that the way you see it is not like you saw it before, because the person receives more knowledge, more mind, and he turns it into this internal development, and he can't be in two worlds together, so his external development becomes weaker. He makes himself borders, but his borders already not as they were. And we can see it, we can sense this. Therefore, it's a problem for the religious sectors. That's why I don't know what Moshe is saying there. He can try. How many religious people are there in L.A.? It's Hollywood. Okay. Where are we? No, we won't finish this. Okay, tomorrow we'll finish it. Yes. You've said that if you take something that's not as a fact, then it's like idolship. What's the difference between a person who thinks about heaven or hell, that he has no fact about it, between a person who starts studying Kabbalah and he begins to learn that we're all one? So what's the difference? How can I take that as a fact? That is why we're told that you have to learn from one who has spiritual attainment, that he teaches you in the true way that it's written in books, that you will never be able to interpret it yourself. You see how many years it takes, like a baby, that if he won't be for the first 15 or 20 years of his life in the human environment, that he won't grow up as a human being. Same thing here. You have to be so many years under the care of a person who has spiritual attainment, that a person that has a spiritual degree. Otherwise you will grow like everyone, that they are as beasts. Because it's impossible from one degree to the next, from one world to the next, to attain it without receiving the education and the care, this tight care, during these years. And he writes it in many places that you have to find a Kabbalist and learn from him, and only in such a way, and so on. And even if you've read many books before, after you've gone over all them, you still have to find a sage that will give you the facts and the correct explanations, what you've read, what you know. And it will be difficult for you to change your mind. Therefore, you can't learn the wisdom of Kabbalah just from anyone or from books. It's impossible. Impossible. Okay. hopefully we'll always have Kabbalists with us, and by that we'll read a few messages before we conclude. Today, Sunday, special broadcasting day on our internet channel kab.tv, 4 p.m. the Zohar will be broadcasted live in Hebrew, English, Russian, Spanish, German, French and Italian at 6:45 p.m. There will be broadcasted live the World Yeshivat Chavirim, which is going to be as a preparation for the All of Us Together meeting, which is taking place tomorrow on Monday, 30th of November. And we'll all be meeting for an evening that is all love and unity. Rav Lightman's lectures, culture events, music, and all for one goal, revelation of the love between us. Now we'll watch a short clip about the event. לא חשוב השם שלך, מאיפה אתה בא? לא חשוב העבר שלך, מה עשית בצבא? לא חשוב מה שמבדיל בינינו. It's not important what's the difference between us, but what connects us. All of us together in Tel Aviv, revealing the love between us. Monday, 30th of November, 6 p.m. Gan HaTaruchah in Tel Aviv. Details, call 1-700-509-209. By that we'll conclude. Thank you and have a great day or night. Lavora